Hey, welcome into the Big Ten Huddle. I'm your host, JR. We got a lot to talk about going on in the Big Ten. I lied. It's basketball. There's not all that much going on in the Big Ten. But we do have predictions this episode. We are going to be predicting the starting lineups of certain teams. And Ken, I have to know, have you predicted your starting lineup for your kids' basketball team that you're coaching yet?
So we actually don't even have the rosters until after, like, they do like a little tryout thing where we get to assess their skills. And then this sounds crazy because it's second through fifth grade, but we actually do a draft.
Wow. Oh,
sorry. I have your video up right here. So we do a draft. And so I don't know my starting lineup yet because I for sure don't even know the kids that are going to be on the team yet.
Man. Do you feel like you're gonna like walk around with a clipboard, like you're like at the NBA draft or something like that? And like,
I do that. I do. I bring like a little clipboard to the assessments, and like I've done pretty good in the draft. Like I've only coached two seasons. We went to the championship both times. So like, I feel like I'm a pretty good drafter, pretty good assessment or assessor of talent when it comes to elementary basketball. So yeah, I'm pretty excited about that portion of it.
Well, we need to get you like a contract for like a scout or something like that. I feel like there's a job for AAU, like second grade basketball or something where, you know,
yeah.
Get the ace scout, Kent, casual Big Ten. You'll have to be expert scout. You won't be casual Big Ten for them.
Oh, I'm definitely an expert scout. There's no doubt about it. Just like the years that I've coached high school basketball, I've spent way too many hours scouting random high school teams that like I'm for sure an excellent scout. So like, second grade, yeah, I might be the best second grade scout in the country right now, and people just don't know about it.
I was gonna say, which will definitely translate to this podcast with basketball, you know, college basketball scouting those kids. So
for sure.
All right, well, we are going to be predicting starting lineups in college or in Big Ten basketball today. So far, we have Penn State, Indiana, Michigan, Purdue, Washington, Wisconsin, Northwestern, Oregon, and Michigan State. This is going to be part one. Part two will be next week. And then after that, cool thing is happening. Big Ten Media Days is going to be after that. So I'm sure there will be a lot of content from that. The coaches talking, stuff like that. Unfortunately, I am not going to the Big Ten Media Days for basketball this year. I went for football. That was fun. But basketball is over in Illinois and it's 3 days long. So
I want to go so bad. Yeah. Here's the thing. Like I want to go, but I want to get invited. Like I don't even want to like apply. Is the application open right now? Cause I haven't even looked at it.
I don't know. I just looked up when the dates were and saw where it was. And I was like, yeah, I can't go.
Wait, where is it? It's always where it's in Indy, right? It's gotta be.
No, but football was in Indy. This is in Illinois somewhere.
What? Wait, hold on. I always thought it was where the Big Ten tournament was taking place that year.
No, Big Ten.
I don't like this. I don't like this news that I'm getting right now. And also, I don't like that the Big Ten hasn't sent me a golden envelope personally inviting me to Big Ten Media Days because I need to go ask Kevin Willard what it's like to be miserable all the time.
They don't know you're scouting. Application deadline is September 27th, and it is in Rosemont, Illinois. The Donald E. Stevens Convention Center, October 2nd and 3rd.
Mm. I got to get that app in, I guess.
They're going to be releasing the schedules. Got a little media update from the Big Ten today. They're going to be releasing the Big Ten basketball schedules tomorrow. So pay attention to that on Big Ten Network.
I'm going to do a quick plug, if you don't mind. I believe that tomorrow, Sonny and I are going to be on Locked On Illini talking about their schedule release. So I think that's going to come out Friday. We'll also talk about the football game that they're playing on Friday. But, yeah, schedules is going to be really fun to see tomorrow. Even though, like, it's basically just the Big Ten stuff, though, right? Like, the non-con stuff has already been pretty much determined by most teams or not really.
There's still some games that, like, I mean, most games have been determined. It's just, like, some of them are dates and scheduling and stuff like
that. Gotcha.
Just trying to get figured out. But most people know who they're playing at this point. They just have to schedule them, and they have to wait till the Big Ten schedule. It is so crazy the way football does their scheduling, like, 10 years out, and the way basketball does their scheduling. Like, oh, yeah, we're a month away. We'll get it figured out here in a couple
weeks. Yeah, we got it. We got this. Don't worry. Don't worry about it.
That's why I don't believe the football scheduling people. But anyway, we'll get to it, man. We got a lot of predictions to do tonight. Go to a couple comments, and then we'll get started with our first one. Philip says, Bro Casual can get his Luke Altmyer throwback jersey while in Illinois. There you go.
I don't think I'm going to have to get one, though. That's the problem, is because Illinois has to win the game for me to have to buy it. So
you're predicting a Nebraska win?
I am predicting a Nebraska win, yes.
Score prediction?
I think it's going to be, let's see, let's go 28-10. How about that?
Okay.
I think it's going to be, right. I think it's going to be handy. Handily. Okay. Handily? I think it's going to be a.
It's going to be a handy one.
Yeah, it's going to be a handy victory. I don't know if that makes sense. It definitely doesn't, but like they're going to win handily. That's what I was going.
Handily. Yes. Doug Shepard says Illinois, Nebraska Friday night should be a banger. Yes. Very excited about that. I'm also excited to talk basketball, though. I've been talking football a lot. We missed last week because of some traveling stuff, but I'm excited to get back to the basketball. And like I said, Big Ten Media Day is 2 weeks from now. So I think we'll get a lot more information after that. Then we'll start getting some practice stuff and things like that. And then the season starts in November, the beginning of November. So should be a good time. Kent, you ready to talk about the games?
I am. I'm actually like, this is kind of what I was talking about before we started recording, is like, I'm actually super excited about basketball season, not just for my kids, like we were kind of talking about, but like, I love football. I love it a lot, but with basketball, there's just so much more content to be consumed because they play multiple times per week. And I feel like with basketball, as a casual fan, even though I watch more than a casual fan does, I feel like you get to know the teams, the players, and the coaches like more because you see them so much more often, and you can really like grow attached to certain teams and players and things like that. So I feel a little bit like I get more excited about basketball is what I'm trying to say than I do about football. I know football moves the needle a little bit more, but I'm very excited about basketball starting for sure.
I'm excited about basketball because we do better numbers for basketball than we do football. Hey, so
that too.
Last year we did great numbers for basketball. It's the football. There's so many football shows and stuff like that out there. There's not as much basketball stuff. I think it's like us and Sleepers and Feed the Post. I think that's like the only Big Ten basketball content out there. So if you don't like Sleepers or Feed the Post, which I like both those shows, so you should like them, you can watch here. But
I've never even heard of Feed the Post. Is that bad?
No, so he doesn't do like a podcast. It's just like a YouTube channel. He does like a lot of breakdown videos and stuff like that. So it's a little bit different than what we do, but it's still Big Ten centric. So
for as much as I appear on YouTube, I don't watch a single thing on YouTube that gets produced.
Wow.
I refuse to. I'm a podcast guy through and through.
Yeah. I watch almost everything exclusively on YouTube because there's too much visual stuff they do. So if I'm like doing something, I can pull my phone out really fast and see. All right, one more comment, and then we're almost 10 minutes in. We have so many predictions to get to, so we'll have to get started. But hopefully Doug Shepard says, hopefully the basketball team will be good enough to get us through the winter. Yes, I hope it'll get us through the winter. For sure.
I mean, it usually does, right?
yeah. But I mean, last year, Ohio State hardly got me through the winter. It was the fact that I was watching the Big Ten. I would not have gotten through the winter if I was just paying attention to Ohio State. Yeesh, that was terrible.
Thank God you had Minnesota to fall back on last year.
yeah. But that's your fallback. That's not great. But I guess Jake Diebler did come in at the end and give us some exciting stuff. But that was like for a month. Like I tried to fit all of my excitement for basketball in like 1 month when Jake Diebler was coaching. Thanks a lot, Chris Holtmann. All right, anyway, let's get into it before I start going off on Chris Holtmann and talking about that. All right, Penn State. We are going to predict the Penn State starting lineup for this season. We are going to predict not just like who is going to be the starting lineup the majority of the season, because you never know what's going to happen with injuries and stuff like that. The game one, like what starting lineup is Penn State going to roll out game one and have in front of the entire fan base? Kent, I will go first, and I know this is a really, really hard choice, but my point guard for Penn State is going to be Ace Baldwin Jr. I know that's a hot take. I know that's a bold prediction, but that's who it's going to be for me. Yeah.
Whoa. That is it's not bold. You're right. I know you're being facetious here. Great player. Obviously, he's going to be the starting point guard for them, and obviously very excited to see him be their starting point guard this year. He's really, like, to me, last year, he was the all, I'll be honest, man. Penn State was hard to watch without. If he wasn't on the team, man, he was. That would have been a really tough watch for that team throughout the year. So, yeah, obviously the star, obviously the bright spot to watch when Penn State's on. So, excited about him being the point guard. Yes, he will be starting for sure.
Yes, for sure, for sure. I was joking there about the bold prediction, but yeah, I mean, 2.7 steals per game last year, 14.2 points per game. So wasn't exactly a sniper, but he wasn't bad at shooting the three. He was 32.9% from three, 6 assists per game. So, I mean, had really, really good numbers last year. He was excellent for Penn State, and he should follow suit again this year. All right, my next one is the two guard. I'm going to go with DeMarco Dunn Jr., 6'5". Started for Penn State last year as well. He was a good piece for them, and Mike Rhodes is bringing him back. I think he's going to start him again.
Yeah, I like that pick. I think that, you know, I don't really know because he's kind of, like, to me, he's kind of an in-between guy, but I really liked Eli Rice from Nebraska, and I feel like I don't think that he's better than DeMarco, but I do think that if there's ever an injury or if there's an opportunity for him to squeeze into the starting lineup at a two or a three, if like someone's sick or something like that, I feel like he's going to get some starts this year, and he didn't get a lot of opportunities. Pretty good Nebraska team that he was on, right? Well, he was on Nebraska last year, right? Yeah. Yeah, he was.
I believe so, yes.
And to me, like, when he was on the court, he showed flashes of, like, what he can do. Now, he's not a perfect basketball player. I'm not saying this guy's going to go be all Big Ten or anything this year. But, like, I wouldn't be upset on a team like Penn State if I saw him in the starting lineup. And, you know, maybe even pushing DeMarco for some of those minutes at the two. But he's kind of, like, in between, I think, like, two and three. So maybe even at the three.
Yeah, I mean, DeMarco did only start 12 games for him last year, so he wasn't the starter the entire season. There's definitely the possibility that he is not the entire starter the entire season. He played in 33 games, so I believe that was how many games. Yeah, that's how many Ace Baldwin played in. So, yeah, I mean, there's definitely the possibility that Dunn does not start at the beginning of the season, and they look to somebody like Eli Rice. But I just think the senior leadership and him coming back, I think he's going to be the guy. All right, my next one after that is going to be one of the forward slash guard, kind of the wing guys, going to be Nick Kern. I think Nick Kern had a pretty good year last year. He was 57.2% from two-point range last year as somebody who's 6'6", playing the forward spot. That's pretty good. In addition to that, he was a good offensive rebounder, and he averaged half a block per game, which for his position, that's pretty good as well. So I really like what he's going to bring to the table, and I think he'll earn that three-person starting spot.
I agree. I think you're right about that. And I think it's less about how good Nick is and more about like what is behind him at that position that like I don't see anybody that could like overtake him at that spot. So like he's kind of like there alone right now, I feel like. And unless like one of these freshmen that I don't really know much about comes in and pushes him for minutes or something like that, I think that he'll be solidly there throughout the season.
Yep. I agree. Let's see. Next I have Zach Hicks coming back again, senior, forward, 6'8", played really well for him last year. He was a good piece. He actually started more games than Ace Baldwin Jr. did last year. He started 33 games, all 33 of them. Ace Baldwin only started 31. I forget exactly what happened there, but I think Zach Hicks comes back. He starts again, and he will be the foreman for him. Your thoughts, Kent?
I agree. I don't have much thoughts about Zach Hicks. I mean, he's just like a solid player for them. So, again, nobody that like could arguably be in front of him at that position. So I'd have him there throughout the season as well.
Yeah, and you need a shooting on this team. I mean, 34.2%. You know, good for the forward spot. So you need his shooting to be on this team as well. All right. For me, this is the biggest question mark for this Penn State team. Those are all four returning guys from last year. You have the five man, which seems to be a battle between two different guys. I guess you could say three. Puff Johnson could start at the five. I think starting somebody at his size at the five is going to be pretty worrisome in the Big Ten. I think he'll play the five for him this year when they go small, but I don't think he'll start for them. I think your two options at starter are Yannick Konen Niederhauser. I know I'm saying that wrong. And then Kachi Naze. All these big men got such weird names, but I love it. I feel bad because I can't hardly say him. So Yannick from Northern Illinois, I think he's going to be the guy. Kachi Naze is from Xavier. I think Yannick had a good year last year, 7.3 points per game. He is a block machine, averaged over 2 blocks per game last year. The dude is nearly 7 foot. He is 6'11". Going to be a good piece for them. Wahab ran out of eligibility last year, and so I think Yannick will be a good piece to come in and fill in for him. Do you think I'm right on that, Kent, or are you going to go with Kachi Naze or Puff Johnson?
I am going to say that you're right, kind of. I'll go back to how you started it, though. I'll make a bold prediction. I think that he's going to be the starter most of the season. But you said that we're going to predict what the starting lineup is for game one. I think that because Puff Johnson is a returning player, he'll get the benefit of the doubt from coach, and he'll just get the start for game one. But as the season wanes on, it's going to be Niederhausen playing that position in the starting spot. He's just too big, like, right? He's got to be their biggest guy. So, like, he's going to, they're, especially I'm thinking of like some of the other teams across the league, like, they're going to have somebody that size to just play defense alone. Like, I don't think they'll expect him to score a ton, but just as the defensive and the rebounding threat, I think he'll be better than Puff is at that position. So, long term, he'll be the guy starting, but I think that Puff Johnson will start game one. That's really? Just a bold really? Prediction. I have, like, I'm just saying that just based on the fact that he's coming back and maybe getting, like, almost like as a reward for, like, hey, man, you're a big part of this program. I appreciate you coming back. Like, you're starting game one.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that five spot for Penn State is definitely going to be, transitioning from starter to starter throughout the season. I think it's sometimes it might just be more game dependent, and you could be right. It could be, just be, Mike Rhodes kind of throwing him a bone, like, hey, you came back and want to reward you for that. So here's a start to begin the year, and, I trust you. And so very first game, we'll make that happen. So I think that makes sense. So, all right, let's move on to our next team. We got the Michigan Wolverines. They lose Doug McDaniel, so they have to find another point guard to come in for that one. Doug went to Kansas State, I believe. He's with Coleman Hawkins. That's awesome.
Kansas State's going to be interesting. Interesting. Yeah, do you think Coleman's going to help him with his homework?
He better. He doesn't want to be ineligible again. But I also heard that Doug wouldn't have been ineligible anywhere else except Michigan. So, because they have, because he wasn't ineligible by NCAA rules, he was ineligible by Michigan rules. Which it's like, Juwan Howard is probably like, really, guys, you can help us out a little bit here.
He really dug himself a hole that he couldn't get out of, though, honestly.
Right. No, I'm not saying it's like not his.
No, I just said that because his name's Doug. I think you missed that.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. I see what you're saying.
It's always better when you have to explain the joke, right? Isn't that better?
I'm over here trying to get my CBB analytics together for it, and so it just went over my head. But all right, let's go to the starters. My point guard to come in for Doug McDaniels this year is Trey Donaldson, the transfer from Auburn. He's going to be a junior this year. Very good three-point shooter, 41.2% last year, 3.2 assists per game. Not really a scorer, only 6.7 points per game. However, he was not starting most of the year. He only had 10 starts last year. However, I think that he's going to grow as a player, and I think this is a player that Dusty May is really going to enjoy playing. Kent, you agree with me there? You think somebody else is going to start?
Yeah, I'm looking at some of these names, and I'm like, I don't know who else it would be. So, yeah, I think that it has to be him. I'll be honest, I didn't do a ton of research on Michigan before we got started, so I'm not really sure. Like, I'm looking at actually who's leaving. I didn't know Jalen Llewellyn left. Like, if you ask me, like,
I think he ran out of eligibility.
Oh, did he? Okay. I didn't know that. Yeah, see, like, most of these teams, I'm like, there'd be somebody that's been playing, like Parker Fox, right? He's, like, about to play his, like, eighth season. So it's like, how does anyone run out of eligibility? It seems like impossible that any of these guys are ever going to leave unless they're like 40. But
some people probably just want to go on with their lives, you know?
No, college basketball is life.
Okay.
No, but I would have predicted it would have been him, like, if we ended the season last year not knowing that he was running out of eligibility. But yeah, I think it'll be Donaldson, and it'll be really. I mean, this whole team's going to be interesting. he'll be a big part of like whether they're going to be able to mesh all these guys together or not. So it'll be fun to watch him. And like you said, I think he's going to be the starter as well. So yeah, Trey.
All right. Trey Donaldson is our guy to be the starter. My two man for Michigan is going to be Reuben Jones, the transfer from North Texas. A lot of transfers on this team for Michigan. He's bringing in his, Dusty May is bringing in not just his guys, but well, I guess not just his guys. They're only bringing in one guy from Florida Atlantic. I keep forgetting that John L. Davis didn't go there and he went to Arkansas.
Yeah, it did seem like it was like a foregone conclusion. Like at the end of the season, though, like he's for sure coming to Michigan. That just never happened.
Yeah, there was something, I guess, with like transfer rules and having to take summer classes or something. I guess he didn't want to come. I don't know how that works out. Plus, I'm sure, you know, Calipari probably has the NIL at Arkansas doing pretty well. And so he probably made that pretty enticing. But I think Reuben Jones is going to be the guy. He's another good three-point shooter, 12.1 points per game. In addition to that, I mean, really he has good numbers across the board. He's a good defender, 1.6 steals per game. So Reuben Jones, he played at a smaller level at North Texas. His plus-minus was 157 on the year. So he's impacting the game well whenever he's in it. So overall, I think this is a good addition, and I think he's going to be your two-guard for him there. Kent, do you agree, or you think somebody else is going to be the two-guard?
I think that this for me is going to be impacted more about like what happens in the front court, because in that we almost should have started there, because then it would like kind of trickle down, because I'm kind of skipping ahead here. They basically have two centers that they could start right at the same time, and they could play them together. And if that happens, or if we agree that that should happen or could happen, it would affect like the rest of the lineup, I think. So,
Let's just jump there. Talk about the four man.
Okay.
Because the five man's flat, right? We all know the five man's flat.
And I think that they should start
the four man.
I think they should start Danny Wolf. I think it would be such an interesting lineup for them. And I think that both of those guys are so athletic. And it honestly, it wouldn't matter which one you put at four or five. Like they both play five, basically, right? But I think that they're both athletic enough that they'll be able to still have spacing on the court, even though they're both so big. Usually when you have like too many bigs on the court, that's what you worry about. Like things get crowded and like there's no driving lanes or things like that. But Danny and Vlad are like really athletic bigs though. So like, I think they should both start. I think it would be really interesting. It would be a different look to give the rest of the Big Ten too. So why not, man?
Yeah. So I think Wolf and Vlad are going to be playing together a lot, but I think to begin the year, May is going to start Cheddar as the four man. And I think that's primarily because he's not going to want to start the game with both of his big men in, and he's trying to figure out what the other team is doing. I mean, we see this all the time, right? We see a four man start, and then there's actually another four man or a center that comes in and plays more often than him and gets more minutes. And so I think that's probably what we'll end up seeing happen here, is I think that Danny Wolf will come in at some point, relieve Vlad, and then Vlad will come back in, and then you'll see him playing together. I don't know if that'll happen the entire year, but I think at the beginning of the year, Dusty May is going to try that out, see how it goes, and then see how the combination of Danny Wolf and Vlad works together. In Big Ten play, I think Cheddar might start playing more just because of the size of the Big Ten and some of the bigs they're going to be going up against. I mean, yes, Dusty May has a fantastic weapon here of having Danny Wolf and Vlad in together, but he also has a really nice weapon here of not like of keeping his guys fresh, right? He's going to be able to sub those guys in and out much more often. That might affect them getting into a groove, but I think it's going to be a really nice piece for them to be able to keep their guys fresh, working with their guys on that kind of stuff. And whenever they come in, then, you know, they're going to have much more energy going against a big man who might have been playing a lot more in the game. So, i.e., Umar Ballo, who could get tired really quick, but you keep sending in guys at him and they're more fresh, it's going to be a whole lot harder for him.
I think my counterpoint to that would be that if you look at what Michigan did last year, now they stunk last year. One of the few bright spots that they had, though, was Cheddar when he came off the bench, always gave them a little bit of a boost. It felt like it didn't always turn out like that, but it seems like, you know, I always saw his like plus minus numbers floating around Twitter, like, this dude has like the highest one on the team. And it was always like, because he was coming off the bench and he was giving them a boost. So if I was coach, and I can say this because I'm not the coach and I don't have any, like, there's no repercussions for me, I would still bring him off the bench and let the two 7-footers start. And then when one of those guys gets tired, he comes in and gives you a completely different look in the front court with his athleticism and his ability to shoot. then it's like a brand new team. It's a brand new lineup just by bringing in that one guy. So I think either way you go, like I'm not saying that you're wrong or I'm right or I'm right and you're wrong, or either way, whatever, vice versa. I think you could do it either way, and it could be successful. It could.
Yeah,
or it could be a dumpster fire again. We'll see.
It could be that too. I think they'll go back and forth. I don't think Dusty May is the kind of guy that is going to keep his starting lineup and say like it has to be this the entire season. I think he'll have his guys that he knows for sure. Like I think Vlad is going to start no matter what, but I could see him transitioning between Danny Wolf and Will Cheddar for that 4-man spot. And sometimes it could just be matchup dependent. We'll see what happens. But all right, let's go to the 3-man. The 3-man for me, I have is Roddy Gale, the transfer from Ohio State. Roddy Gale comes in 13.5 points per game. Not exactly the greatest 3-point shooter in the world, 28.4%. He was better his freshman year, struggled a lot more last year until Jake Diebler came in, and he actually shot better after Jake Diebler came in. But he is a good rebounder, 4.6 rebounds per game, and gets some good assists and 3.1 assists per game. So I think he's going to be a good piece, but he has to cut down on the turnovers. Over 2 turnovers per game last year, he's got to cut down on that. And I think that it will help him that he's not handling the ball as much. That's one thing Chris Holtmann had him do that I don't really think was his forte, was some of the ball handling. When Bruce Thornton wasn't in there, he kind of gave Roddy Gale the ball a little bit more than I think he should have. But yeah, so you agree with me, 3-man Roddy Gale?
100%. If he's not starting the first game, something went wrong.
Yeah, I mean, he should be starting. What, the third highest points per game coming in behind Vlad and Danny? So yeah, I agree. A lot of transfers here for
that's what I think. Like when so like
you think you're Namari saying, Burnett he, plays. You think Namari
that's what
Burnett
I plays? That's kind of what I was getting at. I think it's Namari Burnett at that spot instead at that point.
No, I don't think he's starting. No way Namari Burnett starts. I don't think so.
So I just don't know about your guy Reuben Jones. Then that's on me for not knowing about him. He's much better than him. Then is what you're telling me. Am I learning that now?
It was at a smaller level, but. Dude, Namari Burnett last year was unplayable at times, which you could argue there are multiple players from Michigan that were unplayable at times last year.
Oh, yeah.
you got the same way at Ohio State at times. But
what if it's Justin Pippen then?
I mean, it could be. I just don't think he'll start first game. It could be.
Okay.
But I wouldn't be surprised if Justin Pippen by halfway through the year has more minutes per game than Namari Burnett does.
Okay.
So, yeah.
We'll see. I think that's the spot that's like most up for grabs right now. If you're like at camp or if you're going through practices, you're like, man, if I can get in that shooting guard spot, I could probably start like easily. Cause it's, I think that's the weakest position for them right now. Right. It's gotta be.
Yeah. I mean, if there is an opportunity for Namari Burnett to start, it's that 2-man spot. But I just think Reuben Jones is better, even though he played against lesser competition. I just liked what I saw from him better than Burnett. So, okay. But that's just me. We'll see. I like his shooting a lot more. I think he brings better shooting to the team, but we'll see. You already have Will Cheddar, who's a good shooter. Sam Walters coming in almost 40% last year. Trey Donaldson was over 40%. So we'll see. Maybe Dusty doesn't think he needs more shooting. We'll see.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to do a commercial really fast, and then we will come back and talk about Indiana. CBB Analytics isn't just another stat site. It's your ultimate destination for in-depth college basketball analysis used by fans and even the coaches. It has comprehensive stats for men's and women's basketball across Division 1 through 3, dating all the way back 2018. From shooting percentage to game recap, CBB Analytics has it all. Try CBB Analytics for free or pay for a tier to take your basketball knowledge to the next level. Back here on the Big Ten Huddle, JR and Kent Casual Big Ten is with us. We are going to be continuing to look at the Big Ten. Oh, I forgot to bring down the Big Ten starting lineups that we're projecting. We are on Indiana now. I don't think there's any question Miles Rice is the starting point guard here, Kent, correct?
Correct.
Yeah.
So I think this one might be the easiest lineups to go through. Like, I feel like Indiana's pretty solidly got their lineup set already.
So you tell me if I'm wrong here, but it's going to be
okay.
Miles Rice at point guard. Your
Gabe
your
Cups.
Forwards are going to be McKenzie. Don't say that name. McKenzie Mbako and Malik Renew, and then your five man is going to be Umar Ballo. To me, it's that two-man spot that is going to be a little bit more of a conversation point. It's probably going to be between Trey Galloway and Cannon Carlisle, right? Do you think anybody else is in contention for that spot? I don't
Luke
think Jay Kess is starting.
Luke, you don't think Luke Goody is a shooting guard? Is he?
He could be. I kind of like him coming off the bench better. Okay. But I don't know. You could see Mike Woodson try to go more 3-point heavy and go with him at the two spot. That's a good point.
You know who I liked last year? Again, I'm just gonna kind of pick out guys that like they might not start, but I'm just gonna say I like them, and it would be awesome to see him start. Is Anthony Leal? Like he was good for the minutes he played. Once again, he didn't play a lot. He had that one one game where he had like a tip in at the buzzer, and obviously the crowd went crazy in that game because it was at Indiana. But I just that some memories like that kind of stick in my head when guys have like really big moments. I'm like, man, that kid could be really great, like if he just had more opportunities to play. So I don't think he's going to be the guy. I would definitely think that like Luke Goody or somebody like that you mentioned, Cain Carlisle or somebody like that would be starting before him. It's probably Carlisle, I think, right?
Yeah, so, I mean, Carlisle is probably the safer choice because Trey Galloway is coming off that injury. I forget exactly what it was. He had surgery in April on a meniscus injury he suffered on March 10th. So I would think by, you know, in March, he suffered it on March 10th. By November, he should be healthy enough to come back. But, I mean, these injuries, you never know what's going to happen. So I think I'm going to go with Cannon Carlisle to start just because of the injury. But if Trey Galloway is healthy, I can see kind of like what you said with who was the guy earlier with like, you know, hey, you're coming back with Puff Johnson.
Namari Burnett.
Yeah, Namari Burnett too. But say with like Puff Johnson, where it's like, hey, you're coming back.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of reward you with a starting spot, yes. Right? Because that's what Trey Galloway did. There were a lot of rumors about him possibly leaving last year, but Mike Woodson might say, no, Trey, you have the spot. But I also see what you're saying. I didn't even think much about Luke Goody, but when I look at the numbers, man, he's like the only guy on this rotation that really. Is he a good enough shooter? I mean, Mackenzie Mbako, he kind of struggled at the beginning of the year. He did end with an over 30% three-point shooting. But still, I mean, Miles Rice, like, he was under 30% three-point shooting last year. Trey Galloway was under 30%. Cannon Carlisle was 32%. Like, that's not great. Luke Goody was nearly 40% last year. So if you do want shooting in the starting lineup, you're going to have to put Luke Goody in there.
And he's like... You know, he's obviously not as athletic as the rest of the starting lineup would be if he is starting, but he doesn't need to be either. He just has to be the shooter, right? Like, he doesn't have to go out there and like break guys down or like go off the dribble or anything. He just has to get open looks and knock them down. I'm going to get you off topic just one time in this lineup just because I'm looking at it. Langdon Hatton from Bellarmine just jumped off the page for me. What's that?
Yeah, man. Bellarmine.
I was just going to say, if you're ever bored, the only reason I'm bringing this up is like I've done it a few nights of my life. Go watch Bellarmine's coach on YouTube talk about his offense. They have the least amount of dribbles per possession. Like they don't dribble the ball. All they do is pass. And he does some videos about like how their offense is ran. And it's extremely interesting if you're ever bored and want like some real like nerdy basketball videos to watch. Go watch some Bellarmine videos. It's really fun. Sorry, that's just a side note. I had to mention that, though.
For you basketball nerds out there, you heard it straight from the second grade scout himself. Go watch Bellarmine.
That's right. I'm running the Bellarmine offense this year in the elementary league, for sure. No passing.
Let's do it.
Or no dribbling, I mean. All passing.
Phillip says Indiana has Rice, Galloway, Mbako, Renew, and Ballo starting almost certainty. So I think if Galloway was for sure healthy, which I hear he's still recovering from his meniscus surgery, so you still just never know. If Galloway was for sure healthy, I would go with that as well. I agree Woodson is loyal to his seniors, but I mean, he was loyal to Xavier Johnson last year, and look how that turned out for him. So yeah. I don't know. Like, is Woodson going to have a change of heart? We'll see, but the past would dictate that Galloway is going to start if he is healthy. We just need to know if he's healthy or not. If he's not healthy, I still think Carlisle starts, even with the option of Luke Goody in his shooting. I just think Luke Goody has been so effective coming off the bench this season, or last season, basically his entire career. He's done a good job coming off the bench, and I think Woodson recognizes that. He might give Goody a start or two at some point this season just to see what the look is like. But I agree with Phillip. Galloway is most certainly the starter if healthy, but if he's not healthy, you're going to see Carlisle.
I agree with that.
So, all right. Well, let's get to the next team, which is who do I have it for that? Oh, awesome. People love these two being back to back. Purdue.
For sure. All
right, Kent, is there any question? Braden Smith, right? Starting point guard. There's no question there.
No questions. No questions. About that.
I'm glad we can agree on that. So Braden Smith for sure, starting point guard, two guard, Fletcher Lawyer. There's no issues there, correct?
He's so buff. I mean, he's got to be. Like, he's gotten so big this year, you know.
He has
to be starting.
And then five man Trey Kaufman Wren. There's no argument there, correct?
No argument there. Although I really love, he has not played college basketball yet, but I'm very excited to see Daniel Jacobson. I hope he actually like makes a push to be the starter this year. It would be hilarious.
Daniel Jacobson. Oh, I mean,
he's like the prototypical like lurchy center that Purdue always has.
Yeah, he's what, like 7'1", 7'2", 7'3",
something like that.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he had a good summer. Like I watched some of his summer tape. Like he actually looked good, but he's just such a Purdue center. Like if you were just like, all right, pick out one, like if they had their whole team like lined up and you were like, which one of these guys is Purdue center, you would choose him because he looks like it. Yeah.
He's way taller than everybody else.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, I think TKR is definitely starting. You got Lawyer and Smith. For me, it's the three man and the four man that really have the conversation. I lean more Cam Heidi rather than Miles Colvin. I think Cam Heidi brings that athleticism that you kind of need into the lineup. Not to say that Braden Smith and Fletcher Lawyer aren't athletic, but they definitely have a little bit of deficiency compared to other guards in the conference. And I don't think a Purdue fan would argue with me saying that, but I think Cam Heidi is uber athletic. And we saw that with the dunk. Was it in the Final Four or the National Championship game? I think it was the National Championship game.
I have to be honest with you, JR. I am so sick of hearing about that dunk. I am so that dunk, over that dunk.
That dunk earned him a starting spot, Kent.
It did not. I don't believe
he's
gonna
start based off that one dunk alone. He's going to start.
Okay. Purdue was also gonna beat Notre Dame last week. Look, here's the thing, man. Like, I think Miles Colvin is a better basketball player with more potential, and his ceiling is higher. His problem is that he's always in his head about stuff. He's in his head, like, you can tell when he's on the court. He's in his head about playing time. He's in his head when he misses a shot. He's in his head when he misses a defensive assignment. Like, if Matt Painter can actually coach him, and I'm not saying he can't. I think he can. I think Matt Painter is a great coach. Don't get me wrong. But if he can get coached up by this staff to be just like, play freely, Miles, I think that he has more potential than Cam Heidi. That might sound crazy, but I also like look at like what happened throughout the whole season last year, and I just don't know if Heidi's better than him just because he had an awesome dunk in the national championship game. I think we're putting way too much stock into that. Like, do you remember him making any other shots last year?
I mean, he was not a prolific scorer last year, 3.3 points per game. He did shoot 45% from three, not a lot of attempts there, but still 45%. So, and his numbers weren't great, 0.4 assists per game. I mean, this is, you know, he didn't even play 500 minutes last year. So this isn't a ton of minutes to go off of, but I don't know. For me, it's kind of a toss-up between Cam Heidi and Miles Colvin. I lean more toward Heidi because of the hype and what's going on. But, you know, we'll see what Matt Painter does. He might go with Colvin in this one. Let's look at the four-man spot. Caleb first, four-man. You agree with that or disagree with that?
I actually agree with that, yes. I like Caleb first a lot. I've always liked Caleb's game.
Yeah. I think there's some question there just because he didn't get maybe as much playing time down the stretch as some people thought he would. But, you know, that's kind of the
and by the way, like a huge opportunity for him this year, like to actually step up. I say actually too much as if they can't do it. A huge opportunity for him to step up into a role. Like, there's a huge hole down low right now for Purdue, obviously, right? With Zach leaving. He is going to have so many chances to make plays for this team. So I'm really looking forward to seeing Caleb first. I'm going to be cheering for him a lot. I've, like I said, always liked him. I've always liked his game. So I am expecting big things out of him, and I do expect him to be the starter as well.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's going to be the three guys that are starting in the 3, 4, and 5 spot to see if they can accommodate for what you lose in Zach Edey. Obviously, not all of them are going, you know, to be what Zach Edey was, but I mean, Zach Edey scored 25 points per game last year. Kaufman, Wren, Heidi, and First, if you start those guys together, they are what, 11.9 points per game between the three of them. And I know they didn't play as many minutes as Zach Edey did and stuff like that, but still, like, you are going to have to see more production from your big men that you did not see before. Before, which obviously because of the usage rate of Zach Edey, you're not going to see that production, but you still need to see more production because Braden Smith, while Braden Smith is a very good player, possibly one of the best players, if not the best player in the Big Ten, he's going to have somebody to deliver the ball to because he is not a, you know, score off the bounce shot creator type. Can he do that? Yes. But his game is much more of the pick and roll passing game, assist to his other guys. And Fletcher Loyer is going to have to step up, and he's going to have to knock down his shots and be much more consistent this year. Fletcher Loyer, very good player, but there were games when he went absent sometimes last year. Now, some of that you could blame on Matt Painter and that fact that he didn't go to Fletcher Loyer as much in some of their play calls. But some of that is also on Fletcher Loyer. You know, was he not giving Matt Painter the confidence to do that? We'll see. But for me, that 3 and 4 spot is a little bit more in question than anything else. I think Caleb First is the guy at the 4. I feel most confident in that. But Heidi and Colvin, they're going to be battling for that 3 spot, I think.
Yeah, I agree. And then you said Trey Kaufman, Wren. Like, I think that it would be just so funny if they just right off the rip said, Daniel Jacobson, you're the starter, and we're going to do the same thing we did the last 2 years with Zach Edey. We're going to dump it down low to a 7-plus footer, like a over 7-footer, and you're going to be Zach Edey now. That's what we're doing with you, and you're going to start, and we'll build around you. And then they just went like Caleb First and Heidi and Fletch and Braden around him.
Wait,
and just did the exact same thing.
You're forgetting about Will Berg, though.
Am I forgetting
like
about him?
Foot two. Yeah, how tall is Wilberg?
I think Jacobson is better, though. I hate to say it.
Ooh.
I could be wrong. I could be totally wrong about that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't... Wilberg from Sweden. What's it? 7'2". Jacobson is 7'4", Philip says. So
yeah, baby. 7'4". Let's just run it back, dude. Run it back.
Does
with
it
the
really
7'4 guy.
Does it really matter how good they are, though? Because Zach Edey, he was like a really, really low recruit, and Matt.
Well, that's what I was just thinking too. Is like
player of the year.
like Jacobson is like you just made my point. My next point I was going to make: he's a better recruit than Zach Edey was coming out of high school. So why can't he be Zach Edey? Why can't he be the next one? Let's do it, man. Let's make a call. I hope Matt Painter's listening to this. Start him right off the rip. Let's run it back. Same offense we've been running for the last, I say we, like I'm on the coaching staff now. Let's just do it again, Matt. Run it back.
Jacobson was the 57th national recruit for 24/7. Composite, he was number 148. So I don't know who has him lower, whether it's ESPN or On3 or whatever. So he is a much higher rated recruit. We'll see. That could be another thing you put into this. You could see Daniel Jacobson at the 5, Trey Kaufman Wren at the 4, and Cam Heidi or Miles Coleman at the 3. I don't think they're gonna put Caleb First at the 3. He doesn't fit that spot.
That'd be sweet though if they did. Like especially if they played Michigan and Michigan. Like Michigan starts the 2 centers that we were just talking about, and then they come out with like basically like 2 4s and a 5. They're like, okay, yeah, we'll match you big for big. We'll add another big out there too. We'll go 3 bigs. Like they just all bigs out there. It'd be so fun.
Here we go. Phillips coming in with the stats to help us. Jacobson, 7'4", 230. ED was 7'4", 300. Well, it sounds like Jacobson needs to eat.
He's going to eat. Calories. He's going to eat in the Big Ten next year.
Okay, he's
going
to eat in the paint. All right, I like that. Hey, Kent, we got Johnny Kim here. Casual Big Ten is a pimp. He says just return the UCLA love because he is a UCLA fan. He says he's in the house. Unfortunately, Johnny, we're not talking about UCLA tonight. That's going to be next week, but we appreciate you being here.
Thanks, Johnny. So, I don't know what I deserve to get the pimp title, but I appreciate it.
Probably your Twitter game, dude. Your Twitter game is on maybe. Point. So, maybe. All right, we're going to hit another commercial, and then we'll come back, and we will talk about who's next. Washington. So stay tuned for some Washington talk. The Big Ten Huddle is brought to you by the College Huddle, the largest fan-led college sports podcast community on the internet. With contributors from 70 different schools, you will get in all kinds of analysis from all over the country. Go visit thecollegehuddle.com to find your team and read articles from all across so many fans and contributors. The College Huddle is fan-made, fan-driven, and fan-fueled. Back here on the Big Ten Huddle, we're going to be looking at Washington. I keep forgetting to change this over.
How dare you?
We're going to be looking at Washington. Yeah, I know. Washington had a lot of guys leave, and they have a lot of guys coming in. They have two guys returning. Frank, I think that's how you pronounce it. Kepnang is the center who's coming back. And Wilhelm Brendenbach. That's my new favorite player in the Big Ten. Wilhelm Brendenbach. Probably saying that wrong. They are coming back, and the rest are transfers and freshmen. So this was great. Osabor was the one. Was it $1 million or $2 million he got paid? I think it was $2 million he got paid in NIL. So high NIL guy there. Let's start with the point guard position, Kent. I think they're going to start the freshman, Zoom Diallo, highly rated recruit, number 43 in ESPN, just so happens to be number 43 in the 24/7 composite as well. Washington probably going to try to get their youth some playing time and work in there. Do you agree, or you think somebody else at point guard?
I'm going to have to take your word on most of this for Washington. Like some of the newer teams, unless they're like really big players, I don't know. I don't hardly like all these names are foreign to me except for Osabor. Like I have no idea who this is, and I haven't, you know, I'm much like the Big Ten scheduling committee. Like I will start looking into these new teams when I need to. And when I need to will be like a week before the season starts. And there's like no Big Ten ties to any of these guys on here. It's like, this guy's from Oakland. This guy's from Rhode Island. This guy's from Butler. He's from Rice. Like, unless you watched Washington last year, even if you did watch Washington last year, you might not know some of these guys. Look at all the guys that left. This is ridiculous. So, like, I have no clue, man, on this. I'll take your word for Zoom. He's got a cool name, so, yeah, he should start. Zoom. He goes fast. He's a point guard. Zoom, zoom. Let's go.
Well, the funny thing is he's actually kind of oversized, so he's not all that fast. He's actually going to – he's like 6'4". So he's actually going to struggle with the smaller guards, I think. And I just watched a little bit to make sure I wasn't, you know, thinking too highly of him based off his recruiting ranking. And, I mean, he's pretty big size. I think he's like 6'4", 6'3", something like that. And he's a good player. He's got a pull-up game, and I think that's going to be good for the team. But yeah, the name is deceiving. He's not the quickest dude in the world. Not saying he's slow, but the name is a little deceiving. So
I hate to hear that, man.
I would love it if he was like a 5'9 point guard that's like zooming all around the court. That'd be much better. But
for sure.
We'll let him live. We'll let him live.
Like Doug McDaniel, basically, like we were talking about earlier, like his name could be Zoom, you know, somebody like that. But
that's true.
His parents have to be devastated that they named him that. And like, he's not like extremely fast though.
Well, you know,
like that's what they were hoping for.
They knew what his genes were. Like they knew he was gonna be like 6'4", 6'5". Like it's like, oh, we hope he's 5'6". It's like you're both
wait, hold on. Speaking of NIL, if he doesn't have an NIL deal with Zoom, like the Zoom meeting call thing, like he is slipping. Like he needs a manager bad if he doesn't have an NIL with that.
I don't think Zoom has enough money. COVID was over and they lost out on all their...
Maybe Diallo here can pull them back out of bankruptcy.
Maybe he can. Maybe he can. All right. Well, since you don't have anything for the starting lineup for Washington, I'll give my five, and then I'll give my three bench options, and you can tell me what you think. So, like I said, Zoom Diallo, incoming freshman, going to be the point guard. I think DJ Davis, the Butler transfer, is going to be the shooting guard. Mekhi Mason, the Rice transfer, I believe is going to be the three man. Great Osabor, definitely going to start. You pay a man $2 million, there's no way he doesn't start. So great, get your butt in there and start. And then I think if he's healthy, I know that he has had multiple knee injuries. So Frank Kepnang is the man who has been starting for Washington before. Like I said, though, he's had some knee injuries. So I think that knee injury came at the beginning of last year, though. So he should be healed up. If not, they might start great at the five spot. We'll see. It's going to be kind of interesting. And then the three other options that I kind of see are Tyree Iheanacho from North Dakota, Tyler Harris from Portland, and Wilhelm Brendenbach, which
wait, hold on,
I'm in there just for the name.
Wilhelm, though, was – am I tripping right now, or is this the guy from Nebraska? I'm looking at his picture on their website right now. The dude with the rec specs?
Yeah, no, it's not the guy from Nebraska. He was on Washington last year.
How do I know? Yeah. How do I know this guy? Where did he transfer from? I have seen
Washington.
This man play basketball before.
Well,
we gotta find Nebraska sophomore year. Nebraska freshman.
Oh, okay, so he wasn't Nebraska for 1 year. Okay, I was just saying last year.
No, freshman and sophomore year.
Okay.
And then last year he was on Washington.
Yeah.
Yes, I was right.
Okay.
Wilhelm, I would never forget a dude like that, man.
That you meant he was on there last year. Okay. All right. You're right.
I
got
to pull up
you're
his
right.
picture so you can see it, man.
No, I
you don't,
see it.
You would, do you remember him now?
He's got the specs. Yeah, I remember him now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I loved him in Nebraska, by the way, just because of the specs, though.
I hope he plays a lot. He started 9 games for Washington last year, so maybe he'll get some starts this year. But, yeah, so any thoughts on the starting lineup there? Phillip's backing you up right now. He's saying – Brendan Bach was at Nebraska, so which
he's backing you up or me? I had this,
huh?
I said he's backing you up or here he is. Here's the Nebraska. I got to show everybody at home. There he is.
There
a little
go.
Blurry, but
if you're listening,
I'll never forget Wilhelm.
Go look him up. Also, Sonny here. Nice to see you, JR. Nice to see you, Sonny. Thanks for being here.
I'm not coming tomorrow.
Thanks for being
not going
here.
On a show tomorrow. He never says hi to me.
That's okay. That's
they do have a guide. One other thing, and again, this is probably the best I can give you for like Washington. Like I said, I don't know a lot of these guys other than Wilhelm. They have a guy named DJ Davis, and if he's anything like RJ Davis, like he's definitely gonna be starting. Like DJ, like maybe they're brothers. By the way, DJ and RJ.
It's just one letter difference. Yeah,
I know.
Just one letter difference. So
make it really easy on their parents.
Well, we need to
so
do
anyways,
like
that's
a,
all I have for Washington for you. I'm sorry.
We
I don't
need to
have
do
more.
Like an RJ Davis, DJ Davis side by side highlight clip or something like that.
Mm.
Let's see. Mm. They're just one letter off.
They might be related.
Johnny Kim coming in with the compliments tonight. Appreciate it, man. He says, I appreciate you guys putting out b-ball content during football season. Puts you on par with the one and only. Oh my gosh, I never thought I'd be compared to this. John Rothstein. Wow. All right, I don't tweet as much as John about basketball, but I do appreciate the comparison there. We sleep in May, yes. He says not in par, should be on par. Yeah, I think I knew what you were saying there. Thank you, Johnny. We appreciate that. And yeah, we're trying to put out basketball content at least once a week for you guys. Like I said, we missed last week, but we're coming in again this week. So, all right. Anything else on Washington, Kent? Before we move on,
I'm still looking up if DJ and RJ are related.
Yeah,
that's well, how I mean, I'm spending DJ, my time on your show right
DJ
now.
DJ went to Butler, which, by the way, Connor McCaffrey is apparently supposed to get a job at Butler.
He's yeah, I think he already got it. I saw a tweet that he signed like a deal or something. I think he got it.
Oh,
yeah,
man. Which isn't that where Patrick is at too? I think that's
dude.
Where
I can't keep them straight. There's too many. Yeah, like I'm trying to find out if DJ Davis and RJ Davis are related. Can you stop asking me family related questions right now?
All right, well, let's just move on to Wisconsin. All right, the Wisconsin Badgers, they have a freshman freight tag, however you pronounce his name. I am so bad with last names, dude.
The freight train.
Daniel Freight Train. That's what we'll call him. He is the number 129 prospect in the country, according to 24/7 Composite. I read an article that apparently this is the new Chucky Hepburn. Now, he's not from Nebraska like Chucky is. He's from Minnesota. But still, this is the new Chucky Hepburn. He's going to spend his entire career at Wisconsin. He's going to be the point guard there. And so why not start him game one? Daniel Freight Train, Freight Tag, however you pronounce his last name. Kent, do you agree? Or do you think they're going to go with another one of the maybe transfers?
I'm not sure yet. And I know I've been saying that quite a bit this episode. But just going back to what you just said about Daniel, I hope he's not. I hope he's not the next Chucky Hepburn, because if he is, we're in for four more years of, you know, average basketball play, I feel like. You know, Chucky,
dude,
I like
people
Chucky.
People hate on Chucky way too much. I like Chucky.
I'm going to hate on him. I'm going to hate on him right now. I don't feel like he did enough to carry this team to where they should have been with all the players that they had. Dude had AJ Storr on his team, man. Come on now.
Yeah,
we got to do better.
AJ Storr also started throwing hissy fits halfway through the year when nobody else was scoring. And it's like, dude, because you're hogging the ball and you're missing shots, how is anybody else supposed to score when you're taking all the shots?
I'm hogging the ball too if Chucky Hepburn's on my team. Now I will
say
last year,
a good passer and a good defender. Don't you besearch the name? Besearch.
Sorry.
Of Chucky. Sorry.
I'll stand down to Chucky Hepburn.
Okay.
No.
Okay. Phillip's helping me out here. Free tag. All right.
Free tag.
Free tag. All right.
Okay.
Phillip is our name checker for me. I appreciate that, Phillip. All right, well, fine. We won't call him Chucky Hepburn then, but he is from Minnesota, so we have to have some appreciation for him. We are, like, closet Minnesota fans.
We are, for sure.
Closet.
So, yeah.
We've been very vocal about how much we like Minnesota.
Yeah, not at all. Yeah, we've definitely been, like, very vocal about how much we liked Minnesota last year, I think.
Yeah, so we're not closet at all. Two guard, Max Klesman. I don't think there's any debate with that. It has to be Max Klesman. If it's not Max Klesman, something went horribly wrong. I think the three man actually has a little bit more controversy. I think John Blackwell is going to start, but apparently there's some talk about John Tonji. This is the guy that like committed elsewhere and then still went to Wisconsin. I forget. I think it was like New Mexico or something where he committed, and then he ended up going to Wisconsin instead. So you have any thoughts on John Tonji or John Blackwell for that three spot?
Is John Blackwell a three?
Not really, but like if you're going to play a three guard lineup, like that would be fine. I mean, a lot of teams do that. So
they're going to be really small if that's what they do, I feel like, right?
Yeah, but they got Stephen Crowell on the inside. He's a 7-footer. I don't think it's the worst thing in the world.
I don't know. I'd like to see him at the two, I think, is what I'm trying to get at.
But he's not replaced. I said Tanji's only 6'6", but John Blackwell's not replacing Max Klesman.
Okay. Well, since I'm not the coach and I don't have to have any repercussions for anything, here's what I'm doing. I'm putting them at 1 and 2, and whoever's closest to the ball can bring it up, either Max or John. They can both run the offense. How about that?
Yeah, I don't think either of them are good enough ball handlers, though.
I mean, Max had there were games last year where, like, especially if Chucky was in like foul trouble or anything, where they just gave the ball to Max and they were like, just go score. Anyways, like that was the offense.
But that
sometimes
doesn't fit the new Chucky Hepburn narrative, though.
Okay, so what you want to see out of Wisconsin next year is you want Daniel Freetag to come in with two guys that are under 6'4", and you want them to run sets for 30 seconds and then take a shot when the shot clock is almost expiring, and they're going to run these really clean sets. And it's going to be really perfect, and we're going to run the clock down and go back to old Wisconsin Badger basketball where we score 55 points and win by 3. Like, is that what you want, dude?
I mean, no, but I don't think it's that much different with Max Klesman or John Blackwell bringing the ball up. I don't think those guys are, you know, natural point guards. It's going to make the offense much more dynamic. I mean, Max Klesman's a good scorer. John Blackwell's a good defender, and he has aspects to his offensive game that I like. He's a better scorer than I think some people give him credit for, but he's not a distributor. He's not the primary ball handler.
I don't think that they are either. Here's what I'm trying to campaign for right now is that I want the five best players on the court. And I don't know if having those three in those positions is going to be helpful for them because they're going to be so small. Right?
Yeah, but what I'm saying is like Tanji's only 6'6", so it's not that much more size, right? Like
you're saying Tanji's going to be at the three then?
Well, yeah, if you put Klesman at the one and then you put Blackwell at the two guard spot, then you're going to put Tanji at the three or Gilmore, but Gilmore's only 6'7".
Right, but you said Freetag was going to start at the point guard and then Max and Blackwell are out there at the same time?
Yeah, that's how you start it.
That would be that would be a small lineup is what I'm saying.
Well, yeah, but I think you're in a small lineup no matter what you do. Like I said, Tanji.
Oh, okay.
Gilmore,
that okay.
Six,
I missed your point there. I'm sorry. Yeah. Okay. I see what you're saying now. Okay.
Yeah, I think you have a small lineup no matter what you do, and your size and Crowell. And who did I have as the four man? The transfer Xavier Almost. He's 6'8", so he's going to be a little undersized.
Here's what we should do. We'll put Isaac Gard at point guard.
Isaac Gard? No.
Yeah, it's in his name. Point guard, yes. Isaac Gard.
It's in his name. I don't think so. but I really, really appreciate the effort, Kent. Phillips says Crowell, Blackwell, Freetag, Tanji, and Klesman. Oh, okay, so he doesn't think Amos will start. I guess that's possible, but that's really small. You're going 6'2", 6'3", 6'4", 6'6", and then Crowell's 7 foot. But still, like, that's really small.
Yeah, I don't know. I've been saying this since the season ended. This is going to be a bad year for Wisconsin, no matter how you slice it. Like, I'm very worried about this team. I'm worried about this. There's not, like, a lineup you can build right now where you're going to get me to be, like, jumping out of my seat and saying, this team's going to go win 25 games next year. I just don't see it with this roster. So I'm not really sure.
It's going to take really, really good play from Klesman, Blackwell, and Crowell for that to happen. And based off the play we've seen, which I'm not saying has been bad by any means, but based off the play we've seen, I don't think you can rely on them to be, you know, have the great play that they need throughout the entire season. You can see it for spurts. We saw it for spurts with Klesman
exactly.
last year. But I don't think we're going to see it for the entire season. I think other teams,
especially with Klesman, by the way, like, he can get real hot, but then the next game he just won't show up. So, like, I don't know.
Yeah,
it's not going to be consistent, like you said. It's not going to be a consistently good roster. It's just not.
Yeah,
I'm worried.
But who knows? Maybe Freetag goes crazy.
That would be the X factor. He would have to. I feel like he's got to be really good.
All right, let's get on to your favorite team, Kent. We know this. Northwestern, the Wildcats. So the biggest thing here for me is replacing Boo Booey. So I think in my mind, it's pretty well set that you're going to have Ty Berry, Brooke Barnheiser, Matthew Nicholson starting, and then I think Nick Martinelli is going to start. It's a little bit
Correct.
Of a small lineup, but I think you're going to have to figure out who is the point guard. Last year, Boo Booey handled the ball all the time. He was basically your only ball handler. He was the one handling it more than anybody else. Unfortunately, you don't have Boo Booey back, so you're going to have to figure out who is handling the ball this year. I think Ty Berry can handle the ball. I think Brooks Barnheiser can handle it. But at the end of the day, the only other ball handler you had on this team was Ryan Langborg, and he's gone too. So what does Northwestern do at point guard, Kent?
I think it's... Man,
and,
I gotta
that, and they
check.
Have the transfer Jalen Leach coming in, who he never really handled the ball at Fairfield, but you know he is a guard, scored 16.2 points per game. So I don't know. What do you think?
Again, if I'm going to put the five best out there, the fifth guy is going to be Blake Smith, and we're just going to have to figure out who's going to bring it up. Like, I think that coming off because he was a freshman last year, if I'm not mistaken, and is a very
sophomore.
Athletic kid.
Ken Palm says sophomore.
But is that for this year or he was a sophomore last year?
Maybe
I can't remember.
This year. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. I think he's the fifth best player on their team right now, which is tough to say unless it's going to be Jalen Leach. And again, I don't research every single incoming transfer and I'm not going to. I'm just not going to. I think that Blake Smith's going to be the guy that's going to be starting. If I go back to what you said at the beginning of the show, who's going to be the starting lineup? It's the four guys that you just named, and it's going to be Blake Smith if he's healthy. Because when they went on their little tour over in Europe, wherever they went, no, it actually wasn't him that was sitting out. It was Ty Berry was sitting out, right? And I think Brooks sat out that one game that they lost and everyone was making fun of him for. But Blake Smith actually played a ton over there. So I think that he got some experience this summer. I would put him in the starting lineup right now. And I would say that Ty's got to be the one that brings it up, and he's going to be the point guard. I would put Blake at two, and then Nick, Brooks, and Matthew. And that's actually going to be a really tough lineup.
Does Luke
not a lot of depth?
Does Luke Hunger have any chance to start? He started when Matthew Nicholson was hurt last year. Does he have any chance to start, or you think it's definitely Matthew Nicholson?
Like, do you think he's going to push Matthew Nicholson out, is what you're asking me? Definitely not. Like, okay. That's not going to happen. It would have to be Nicholson getting hurt.
Yeah, because that's what happened in last year.
Yeah, like Hunger is not better than him by any stretch, and he's not going to get better in one offseason. Yeah.
He's 6'10". Matthew Nicholson is 7 foot. So, all right. I just figured I'd ask because Hunger started a lot last year at the end of the year. So, I just figured I'd ask. I think Nick Martinelli, Brooks Barnheiser, Ty Berry, and Matthew Nicholson are the for sure starters. I think you just have to figure out what you're going to do with that point guard spot, and I think that's going to impact what your next player is. If you're fine with Ty Berry being the point guard or Brooks Barnheiser bringing the ball up, which Brooks Barnheiser isn't a point guard, he's a forward, but still, like, he could possibly bring the ball up for him. I don't know if that'd be the best option in the world. Then I think you start Jalen Leach. But if you feel like you need somebody else to be your point guard, then I think that you're looking at somebody else to possibly be in there. Blake Smith, I mean, he's not really a point guard either. So that's my thing. It's like, I don't know who the point guard is on this Northwestern team.
I think
the hard part about putting this lineup together.
Well, the thing that's crazy is, like, you know, Boo Booey wasn't really a point guard either. Like, Chase Audige was running point 2 years ago. And, like, Boo was out there with him. So, like, I feel like it just kind of goes in order. Like, who's the guy, who's the secondary guard that we have? We're going to lose our best guard, and then the secondary guy is going to be the guy next year. And it just kind of, like, trickles down like that. It was like Chase and Boo, and then it was just Boo. And, like, I'm not saying that Chase was better than Boo. I don't think he was. I love Chase Audige. I don't think he was better. But once he went to the draft, it was just Boo, and then Ty was the second guy. Now Boo's gone. So it's going to be Ty and Blake, I think, is the next guy up. And then next year when Ty leaves and goes to the NBA, or if he's still there for another year after that, then Blake's going to be the guy, I think. Like, that's just how I see it playing out. And, you know, it doesn't matter. The real thing, and you'll know this, JR, you know what I'm about to say next. The only name on this whole list that matters is the one at the bottom. It's Chris Collins. He's the best coach in the – exactly.
You and Johnny are getting along tonight.
Yeah, we really are. And if this is Johnny's first time watching, then he's going to get sick of hearing this real fast. Or maybe he's not, but
he's all for it.
I think he is too. Johnny, just so you know, for the record, for the last year and a half or however long I've been doing this show with you, JR, I've been saying that Chris Collins is the best coach in the Big Ten. I still think that he is. And he's going to figure it out with these guys.
I mean, it's definitely an argument you have with what he's done with the players that he's had and where he's at and the program that he's built. There's an argument for it. Phillip believes Ty Berry plays point. That's what I think will happen too. I don't think it's, like, locked in yet. We'll see. But I think that's going to be the plan at the beginning of the year. So my starting lineup then, if Ty Berry is playing point, which I believe will happen, then my starting lineup is Ty Berry, Brooks Barnheiser, Jalen Leach, Nick Martinelli, and Matthew Nicholson. You agree or disagree?
I only disagree with the Jalen Leach part, and I would put Blake Smith in. But I don't know. To be fair, though, and, like, to be transparent, I don't know about Jalen Leach that much yet. So
he's just a really high scoring transfer from Fairfield.
Yeah. So if it's always tough though, because, like, these kids coming from different schools, it's like, were they scoring that much because they were at a small school, or were they, like, legit good? Like, sometimes they're actually good players and they can do that anywhere, but we'll find out.
Johnny says first time live. All right, Johnny, thanks for being here. So you watched other times. We appreciate it.
Nice.
All right, commercial really fast. We'll hit home field and then we'll come back and we will talk about Oregon, the Ducks. Here we go. Home Field is your go-to destination for premium collegiate apparel with a passion for comfort and a flair for vintage design. Home Field brings you gear that is comfortable and stylish. With over 150 colleges to choose from, Home Field digs deep into the archives, uncovering forgotten logos, iconic mascots, and legendary moments to create one-of-a-kind apparel. Use my code TBTH for 15% off for new customers, or use my link in the description. Back here on the Big Ten Huddle, we got two more teams we are going to look at. The first one being Oregon. The Oregon Ducks, Dana Altman has his guys ready this season. They lose some really good players. They lose Nefeli Dante, Jermaine Cousinard. Forget how to say his name. I apologize. But they do bring back the freshman from last year, Jackson Shellstad, who should be good for them. I think Nate Biddle will be their five-man this year. But I got to be honest with you. This is probably the least confident I am in a starting lineup predicting. Northwestern was a little difficult just because of the point guard question, but I felt pretty confident it was going to be Ty Berry. However, this Oregon team, I feel like they bring back some good players, but they've also got some good players in the transfer portal. So, I think we can both agree Shellstad starting point guard, correct, Kent?
Yes. Again, I kind of have to take your word for some of these newer teams and like just agree with you on that part. I will say, as far as the point guard position, I know it's not about Oregon, but it kind of is because he's leaving. I think Brennan Rigsby is going to be in contention to be the point guard at Minnesota because that's where he transferred this year.
Yes. Yeah. We'll talk about Minnesota in the next episode, but I agree. From just looking at all the lineups, I think Brendan Rigsby, unless I have a change of heart by next week, I think Brendan Rigsby is going to be the point guard there. All right. So two guard, I think it's TJ Bamba, which I know you love that name.
Love it. Love that name.
I think TJ Bamba, the Villanova transfer, is going to be your two man. You agree, Kent?
I have to because it's a great name.
Yep.
That's all I have for that. You know, sometimes I have all the basketball information in the world about a guy, and then sometimes it's like, he's got a good name, he should be starting. But I'm looking at that right now, though, at the two guard, 6'5", that's a big two, right?
Yeah, well, and they're going to be a bigger team there, but they're three-man. If it is Jadarian Tracy, who I think it is, he's 6'5", as well. So that's going to be a little bit of a small three-man, but that's who I think they'll probably go with.
Okay.
What do you think?
Again, just to get to agree with you, what about four then? Is that where Kwame Evans Jr. is then? Is that four?
I think so. They brought in Brandon Angel, the transfer from Stanford, who could also start there. I think that's probably going to be the most contentious position in the starting lineup. However, Kwame Evans, he was projected to be a second-round pick, and he came back in the NFL draft, or the NFL, in the NBA draft. So he decided to come back. We'll see if it's going to be him or Brandon Angel. Just kind of depends on, I think, who does better in practice leading up to the year. But I lean Kwame Evans Jr., just based off him coming back and the draft status and stuff like that. So that's who I lean. You go either way?
Yeah, he's the only name that like I was very confident is going to be in the starting lineup when you pulled this list up. So like I really think that he's going to be starting for them for sure.
Yeah,
Kwame.
Yeah. Jadarian Tracy is also that other piece there. Could Brandon Angel start over him? And what's that going to look like? Because Brandon Angel can also play the three, but we'll see. We'll see what happens. And then five man for me is Nate Biddle. I don't think there's really any conversation there. I think that's probably the starter I felt the most confident in.
I believe you. So I got to go with you on these ones.
All right. That's your Oregon.
By next year at this time, listen, and I could get on here and lie and say that I know all about these new teams. I don't know about all these guys yet. And by next year at this time, I can confidently say that when we do this same episode next year, I'll have a way better argument for some of these guys in who's going to be starting for each team. Just on the new teams. I know the guys on the old teams, but not on these new teams yet. I just don't.
All right.
That's fair, right?
Let's switch to a new team then. Michigan State, or old team then. Michigan State, they lose Tyson Walker. They lose Malik Hall, AJ Hogard, Matty Sissoko. Four starters for them last year. I guess Matty started most of the season, but he didn't start the entire year. And they are bringing back a number of good players, but they are also bringing in Frankie Fiddler and Zizmon Zapala. He comes in from Longwood. I don't think that Zapala is going to be starting, but I do think Frankie Fiddler will be starting at the three spot. Do you have any argument with that?
No, I think that he has to for them.
I think so too.
He's the most three looking. Now here's a transfer that's coming in that I actually did watch film on. He's the most three, he's the most small forward guy I've ever seen. Coming into a new team from a smaller school. So, he looks like a small forward. He plays like one. he's in between a guard and a big. So like he just plays that like swingman position really well. So I like Frankie Fiddler to start for them at the three for sure.
I agree. And I think that you you go with Booker and Cooper at the four and the five. Seems like that's kind of what is a once with Booker anyway, is to be your four man. So I think that makes the most sense. For me, the biggest question mark is the point guard position. I think Jaden Akins is going to be your two guard. I don't really think there's much argument there. But it's all about what does Tom Izzo do with the point guard? Does he start Trey Holloman or does he start Jeremy Fears Jr.?
Okay, so I got to go two beats back real quick because, like, you said Xavier Booker at the five for sure then?
No, Xavier Booker at the four.
Carson Cooper okay. At the
five. Sorry.
And who at the five?
Carson Cooper.
Okay, so the five position, I feel like, has been the most talked about thing on this roster so far. Like, between, like, because I think that, like, is Xavier Booker for sure a four? Like, do they even have a five? That's what I'm trying to get at.
I think that's what Tom Izzo wants to use him as. I don't think he's for sure a four, but it seems like that's what Tom Izzo wants to do with him. It seems like that's what he wants to use him as. So,
okay, so basically you have
playing Carson Cooper for his defense last year, so I think he's going to start Carson Cooper for his defense again.
Okay, but you have Xavier, Carson, and Jackson Kohler, though, and like you have two spots to put them in. So you're saying Xavier and Carson. I think that it's been very like publicized that they don't have a true five, and they don't know if Carson Cooper can be that guy or if Jackson can, or even if like Xavier can. I'm not sure. So, but I have heard a lot of like chatter about that position. So I think that that's a more interesting position because I think that Jeremiah Fears is for sure going to be the starting point guard as long as he is not only physically healthy, but like mentally healthy and ready to actually play basketball after what he dealt with last year. So I would go like if I was doing this lineup, I go Fears. I like Holloman a lot, by the way. I'm not saying that he's a bad player. I would go Fears, like you said, Akins, and then I would go, man.
But do you put Holloman in over Cooper, right? This is what Philip is suggesting here. He says Holloman over Cooper and Booker at the five is what I would do, which I don't disagree with. That's personally what I would do as well. I would put Jeremy Fears Jr. at the point. Trey Holloman, Jaden Akins at the two and the three, put Frankie Fiddler at the four, and then put Xavier Booker at the five. But from everything we've seen, Tom Izzo does not want to put Xavier Booker at the five, at least last year. He doesn't want to put him at the five. I don't get it. I think that he offers a lot of positives at that position. I know Xavier Booker is not the defender that Carson Cooper is, and I think that for whatever reason, Tom Izzo really, really wants his five-man to be that good defender, which I shouldn't argue and say for whatever reason. Like, you obviously want your five-man to be a good defender, but Carson Cooper, he just doesn't give you hardly anything else. Like, the rebounding is good. It's not great. Like, you want most of your defensive big men to be. But I think that's the biggest dilemma right now is, like you're saying, the five man, what happens there? If the five man is Carson Cooper, I think you have to start Xavier Booker, and then I think the question mark is the point guard. But if that five man is Xavier Booker, then I agree with Philip here. I think you can put Jeremy Fears Jr. in at the point guard spot, and then Holloman.
But then you're putting Holloman at the three or the two? Like, that's the weird thing about Izzo. Like, if we had Izzo on right now, and he heard... If Tom Izzo heard this conversation, he would throw up because he doesn't care about positions either, I don't think. I think he just kind of cares about like what you said, who's going to play defense, who's going to rebound, and who's going to make smart plays on offense. Not necessarily who's the best player on offense, but who's going to be smart. Because I think if it was like who's the most athletic person to put in and we're just going to build the most athletic, best lineup, it would actually have to include Cohen Carr. Like, more than anybody else, a guy that can really play defense, he can go up and get rebounds and is super athletic. Like, why is he not in the starting lineup if that's what we're looking for and we're not really worried about positions? It would go like, you know, I would even say, like, argue that it could go like him, Fears, and Jaden. And then you could put Frankie back down at the four, like you said, with Booker. That would be a very athletic lineup. And it would
be... I mean, go ahead.
Sorry. I would like that. I would like that as a start. I'm going to say that's my best starting lineup for them.
I don't think Carr is a bad option to put in your starting lineup. I just don't think Tom Izzo will do it. I think Tom Izzo is going to prioritize his upperclassmen and Jaden Akins and Trey Holloman. That's just that is what he has shown to me throughout his years and here recently. He's going to prioritize his older guys over the younger guys, which I think has made fans frustrated in the past, and that's one of the reasons why people are, you know, getting more upset with Tom Izzo. So with that thought in mind, that's why I think it's going to be, and I know people are going to roast me for this, I think it's going to be Holloman, Akins, Fiddler, Booker, Cooper. I don't agree with that. I don't think it's right, but I think that's what Tom Izzo is going to do, at least for the very first game. Things might change later on, but I think for the very first game, he's going to go out that way, and Fears and Carr and Kohler are going to come off the bench.
Yeah, this is an interesting one. I mean, it's not like there's no wrong answers, I don't think, with this one. I think that you could build like four or five really good lineups at like a starting lineup with this, and you wouldn't be wrong about any of them. But it's because
predicting
there's
what Tom Izzo will do is the hardest part.
Like, oh yeah, totally. Like he might come out and say like, you know, I'm really close with the Richardson family, and Jace Richardson's gonna be in the starting lineup. You know, like,
yeah, if he does that. What in the world?
I mean, if you're saying that he wants to show loyalty to his old guys, I mean, Richardson is the oldest of the guys. Like, his son is on the team now. He might just be like, all right, Jace, you're in the starting lineup now. Let's go. Let's see what you got. No, but yeah, man, it's tough. I think I would still stick. I'm just going to stick with what, if I was going to go out with this team tomorrow and I was coaching, that's the lineup that I would put. And again, that was Fears and then Cohen. And I'm sorry, Fears, Akins, Cohen Carr, and then I would go Fiddler and Booker at the five.
That's the thing. I think Booker should be a 5-2. I think in this day and age of college basketball, I think you bring your defensive big man off the bench in certain situations, and you let your more dynamic player, who is Xavier Booker, start the game and utilize his athleticism and get in the flow of the game. But because defensive
but
guys,
I will say,
they don't
though,
really need a flow. Like they don't need to get out there early and get the flow. Like you just send them out there and they go be that wall. Like it doesn't take a flow to play defense as much as it does other guys. But yeah,
I will say though that there's not much separation for me. Like if I stuck with that lineup, there's not a lot of separation between like Carson, Jackson, and Xavier though. Like you could talk me into having any one of those three guys being at the five.
I agree. Johnny Kim is asking us. He says, Terrence Ogilby spelling. I don't know. I suppose name either. Says, Sparty going to take the Big Ten. What say you? I think we addressed this in one of our power rankings earlier in the year. Somebody had Michigan State power ranked number one, which I just think is outrageous. I think they have a lot of talent. I think they have a lot of good players. But that five-man spot, I think Tom Izzo is going to screw it up. And I think Indiana, Purdue, and UCLA have better chances to win the Big Ten. What do you think, Ken?
And Illinois. All four of them.
And Illinois.
And all Ohio four State. Of them.
And Michigan.
Sure. Throw them in there. I don't know about that. I don't know. I think they'll be competitive with those three. Like, those three are, like, the next level down, right? I mean, we've talked about that a million times. Like, yeah. But I think there's a clear four teams better than Michigan State, though, I think, clearly.
Yeah. Phillip says, rumor is Booker was promised to play the four. That's why he stayed at Michigan State. Yeah, there's been so much drama with that position and with Booker and him staying, and I don't know. I just don't know what to believe with it. I think he should play. I think he should play the five, but maybe he really wants to play the four. Who knows?
That doesn't sound like something Tom Izzo would do. I haven't heard that rumor. I'm not that connected with their basketball team, but like
I've heard it a little bit. It's just not as strong right now because it's, you know, football season and everything, but.
You know what?
I'll get strong within the Michigan State fan base, I'm sure, but I'm saying like nationally, you know, because everybody's focused on football right now.
I'll give Tom a call after this and see if that's true or not.
Okay. Yeah. Let him know. Yeah.
I'll report
back
with
the inside information next time. Okay. Insider Big Ten. Casual insider. Big Ten.
Casual insider.
Yeah. So. All right. Anything else on Michigan State? I think we gave our predictions and what we think should happen, but what we should think should happen goes against what our predictions are.
No, I do think that it's going to be interesting to see not only like what's going to happen with Fears, But it's also going to be, which, by the way, I called him Jeremiah. Is it Jeremiah or Jeremy? I always
no,
get those
Jeremy.
Two mixed. Jeremy. I think I called him Jeremiah, so I apologize.
Jeremiah is the one. Is he still committed to Illinois?
He is. I can't remember anymore.
I think there was question if he would
I think he did decommit, didn't he?
Did he? Okay.
No, he didn't. I don't. Who knows, man?
I have a harder
many,
time
again,
following basketball.
You always ask me questions when there's names that are the exact same. Like, I'm trying to figure out who is who here. Is Jeremy here? Okay. But it will be interesting not only to see what Jeremy does coming back after last year, but also pretty highly recruited
Oklahoma.
Okay, yeah.
He committed to Oklahoma. So he did decommit. Okay.
They just had somebody else commit. It's so hard to keep up with Illinois because they have so many guys, like, big names too that commit to them, so it's like I forgot what happened with him. But with my point that I'm trying to make though is Jace Richardson is a highly recruited guy, so is Kurtang, so it's going to be interesting to see what is going to happen with those guys, because if they are like ready to play next year, then it gets even more, you know, hairy in that lineup and really fighting for minutes, because this is, it's a talented roster, but all the talent is like at the same level. I feel like there's not like last year where Tyson Walker was like the best guy, clearly. There is just a bunch of above average players. So it's going to be tough to see like how Tom Izzo is going to mess it up.
That's right. He reclassified and went to Oklahoma. Gosh. Yeah. Basketball recruiting is so much harder to follow.
Why did he do that? Why didn't he just reclass and go to Illinois? Well, they probably had too many spots, maybe. Who knows?
Who knows? But yeah, no, I think, like, it's kind of a shame to me that Jace Richardson is probably not going to play as much as I think he should at Michigan State this year. I just think that's what Tom Izzo is going to do. Like, Tom Izzo is going to favor his older guys, and he's going to not play Jace Richardson nearly as much as he should. But that's the way it is. So, I mean, right now, I only have two freshmen starting in the Big Ten, or at least with these nine teams in the Big Ten. Zoom Diallo and Daniel Freitag. Those are my only two freshmen starting on these nine teams, which is crazy considering the freshman boom we went through, what, like 5-10 years ago, and how much everything has changed now with the COVID years and the transfers.
Yeah. Yeah, guys are sticking around a lot longer.
Yeah.
They might be in it for the money. They might be trying to get that sweet NIL money, and that's why they're sticking around.
Who knows? Maybe that's what they're doing. Going for the sweet NIL. All right, kid. We put in an honest day's work today. In the middle of off-season basketball, we put in an hour and a half work. I feel like we did a pretty good day's work today.
I agree. I did not think that when you sent me the idea for this episode, by the way, I was like, that's gonna take 5 minutes max, but we just went longer than we usually do, actually. So yeah, I think it was an honest day's work for sure.
I agree. Phillip says Rutgers will have at least two freshmen starting. Yes, Ace and Dylan Harper, and then Illinois will have one or two. Yeah, I did not put Illinois on the list because I know that's going to take a long time to dig into. So that's why
I'm
on the list for today. They're next week because I feel like I needed more time to dig into Illinois.
We should have did. You know what we should have done was like an Illinois and Purdue one by themselves, and then do the other, like, what would it be, 16? Like, do 8, well, 8, and then 2.
I was going to break this up into three episodes. I was going to have part 1, part 2, and part 3, and then I forgot that Media Days is on next Wednesday, but the Wednesday after that. So I was like, well, we can't do projected lineups on the same day as Media Days. Like, we're going to want to talk about Media Days, I'm sure. So yeah.
And again, I should be there, honestly. I need to get that app in.
You should. All right, Kent. Tell people where they can find Casual Big Ten at.
x.com/casualbigten is where I do all my handiwork. I'll be playing in the Big Ten championship game in my dynasty, the College Huddle Dynasty, we're still calling it, even though, you know. I won the Big Ten. I didn't win the Big Ten yet because I still got to play the championship, but I'm about to rest all my starters and play Oregon in the Big Ten championship. So pretty exciting game coming up. I'll be streaming that. I was actually thinking about doing it tonight still.
Are you starting Davis Warren over Alex Orji? You going to rest Alex?
No, I'm going to go with Tuttle.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Davis Warren dead to you, huh?
Yeah, well, on the game, he's not the backup. He's the third string on the game.
Oh, really? What's his overall?
I don't know. Like it's got to be
three or something like that.
It's got to be atrocious. I can't have him in there in the Big Ten championship game though. Maybe I'll put him in if I still win. But anybody that has even like a slight injury is coming out of my lineup for, because I don't care if I win it. I'm already in the playoffs. Like,
yeah,
12-0 right now.
Oh, I had somebody last night on the episode ask what you thought about USC Michigan. Do you have any thoughts on that? I forget who it was, but somebody asked in the chat about what you thought of USC Michigan.
They wanted to know what I thought about it.
Yeah, they were asking. They were like, hey, what does Kent think about USC Michigan? Because we kept going on and on about it with Alex Orji starting and stuff like that. You have any quick thoughts?
Oh. I think that I said it on our Bet Big show that went out this afternoon. I think that there is such a huge discrepancy at the most important position in this matchup that Miller Moss is a three times better passer than Alex Orji is, and I think that's the difference in the game. I would be shocked if Michigan was able to upset USC, but if they do, it's really going to shake up everything at the top of the standings. And if they, and even if they don't, like, I think it's a massive game either way for the conference in general, because if USC wins, they are solidly the second best team in the conference, right? Like with what they've done so far.
If USC blows out Michigan, like I'm not going to count out the possibility of ranking them number one in the power rankings. Not necessarily because I think they're the best team, but because they deserve it, right? I mean, that's two wins over ranked teams, not at home. So, I mean,
yeah, I think that
if you're going by like resume, I think you have to put USC over Ohio State just because Ohio State hasn't played anybody. Now, I think Ohio State is the better team. I think they're more talented, but it just depends on how you do your power rankings, right?
Yeah, and I lean more on like my biggest thing. Somebody told me this a while back, like 6 months ago. They were like, when you do power rankings, you should say, who do you think would win on a neutral field tomorrow?
Yeah.
Right? And and ever since I heard that, I was like, that is such a good way to think of it. And so like I kind of do half and half. Like the resume is part of it because you have to give people credit for big wins. But you can always go back and lean on the fact that Ohio State's still a better team. Like, so,
yeah,
and you can always, no one can argue with you about that. Like, I think Ohio State would win on a neutral field tomorrow if they played USC. So I think they're better.
Yeah.
So I mean, that's kind of how I look at it.
I would pick Ohio State to beat any team on a neutral field in the Big Ten right now.
I would too. That's why I have them ranked number one. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, all right. Well, we'll see what happens.
It'd be a fun game, though.
I saw somebody picked USC and Michigan to be 15-12. It's like party of the field goals. I was like, oh my gosh, please don't let that happen.
I hope not.
That would be disgusting.
There's no way. Unless that 15 is like two touchdown passes. Miller Moss is good, man. Like, I think he's going to. I think he's going to have a nice little day on Saturday.
Well, their point was is they feel like Michigan's going to move the ball enough to get in field goal range with Zavada is like 50 yards, so it's not going to be that hard. And then their point was that USC, they don't think is going to have enough of a running game to score in the red zone, and that since it's a smaller field, the secondary is going to play much better for Michigan in the red zone, and they're going to keep them out of the end zone. And Woody Marks is not going to be able to run on Mason Graham and Kenneth Grant.
Maybe.
Which I would argue Mason Graham and Kenneth Grant have been getting gassed because they're playing so much more right now, which is tough on them. I mean, normally any team rotates their defensive tackles, but whenever you see the backup defensive tackles come in for Graham and Grant, like they get pushed way more than the push Graham and Grant do. So it's almost like you have to keep them in, but even then they're tired and, you know, it's hard for them to get the right push. So
it's crazy though, because like that was a game that I'm like was really excited about in the preseason. It's third on my list for just this weekend. I'm more excited about Iowa Minnesota. Iowa Minnesota.
Really?
Dude, you're not excited about that?
No, I am. I'm stoked about Iowa Minnesota. I'm also stoked about Nebraska Illinois.
Yeah, that's number one for me.
Yeah, but I just think there's so many more storylines in this USC Michigan game, at least nationally. Obviously there's a storyline of the rivalry and stuff like that with Iowa Minnesota, but I feel like this USC Michigan game has a lot more like national implications, which maybe I should be looking at it from a Big Ten point of view and not national. But that's my thought process, is like there's a lot riding in all of college football on USC Michigan this weekend, and there's a lot riding on Nebraska Illinois as well for those teams and what it means for the Big Ten. Iowa Minnesota, to me, like if Minnesota had beat North Carolina and Iowa had beat Iowa State, they probably would be close to number one for me, if not number one. But since both those teams have an L against Power Four teams, like
No, that game's number two for me. I still think Illinois and Nebraska is going to be like, especially because it's the only Big Ten game on Friday night. Like, I'm so jacked for that game, man. And yeah, and because of those
excited for that one.
Those fan bases have been like Nebraska, you know, is like Nebraska nice and everything, but Illinois, especially with me because I picked them to win two games, has been really chirping. And I think that I don't know. I don't want them to lose, by the way. I'm not like saying I want them to lose. I definitely don't. I just want to see a really good game. But it's going to be like whoever loses that game, though, it's going to be a really tough reality check for that fan base. Like, that's why I think that because, like, if Michigan loses on Saturday, there's no reality check for Michigan fans. They're like, we already lost to Texas, and we won a national championship last year. Leave us alone. We don't care. Like, USC loses.
If Michigan wins, like, they're right back at a national championship. Like, or I guess you should say national championships. Playoffs. Like, they're vying for the playoffs again if they beat USC.
Maybe.
Which...
Yeah, did we just turn this into a football episode, by the way?
I didn't mean to. It just started with asking.
It's getting close, though. It's because it's like almost Thursday right now.
He put in here, did your civic duty for the week, and then we immediately started talking about football. So we talked about exactly. Basketball for an hour and a half so we can get into some
He probably left already. He's probably like, I'm done with this. There's enough football talk out there. Came here for basketball, darn it.
We did get down to like four viewers right now. So we were at like 11 or 12. Then we started talking football and it went lower. So I guess we should probably head out then.
All right, man.
Nobody wants to hear us talk about football. All right, everybody. Thank you for listening tonight. We do appreciate it. If you're listening on podcast, thank you for listening. The next morning, we'll be back with the more projected lineups, Minnesota, Rutgers, Iowa, all those lineups for you, Ohio State next week. And then after that, we are going to have Big Ten Media Days. Neither of us will be there, but we will be reacting and talking about everything that is said at Big Ten Media Days. Very excited about that. Tomorrow night, I have Andrew from Nittany Blues podcast. We're going to be talking about some of the less talked about games in the Big Ten, but still some important teams. Indiana, Charlotte, Penn State, Kent State, Ohio State. Who do they play? Marshall. And then I think we're also going to talk about UCLA and Northwestern. And there's one more game that we're talking about, but I forget what it is off the top of my head. So, but there's another one in there. We're going to talk about as well. So we'll talk about all those games and give our thoughts. Join us tomorrow night at 9 o'clock Eastern time for the football talk. Kent, anything else?
I kind of dazed off there because I knew I didn't have to talk anymore. But did you mention Saturday too? We'll be back. We're doing Saturday again, right?
Yeah, Saturday power rankings. Power rankings on Saturday night after the final Big Ten game. But if Purdue and Oregon State looks like it's over early, just be checking back. We'll because we might go live in like the middle of the fourth quarter if it looks like that game is over. So yep, just check in.
And it might be halftime if Purdue plays the way they played last week. We might go halftime.
If it's 42-0, I'm not staying up to the end. So yeah, we're going live at halftime. It's 42-0. I don't think it will, but if that happens,
they play like that again, it will be.
That's true. That's true. All right. Thank you for joining us, everybody. Have a good one. We'll see you tomorrow night and Saturday night. See ya.